The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program
on SB Nation Radio
and on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning. It's SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Thanks for joining us. I always have this worry that we're getting softer and softer as sports fans. Actually, I really hope we're getting more, cynical. We look things through a different perspective. We're not so blindsided, blind love and blind appreciation for the sports that we love. That we do look at these organizations and we do try to find a method to the madness, if you will. But last night is a little example of what I mean by how we may be growing a little soft when it comes to being sports fans. Last night, Bryce Harper was back in D.C. wearing a Phillies uniform, and he got booed, and he should have gotten booed. But you see this reaction by people who said, oh, the Washington fans should have thanked Bryce Harper for everything he gave them. What did he really give them, right? What did he give them? A World Series championship? No. A World Series appearance? No. Maybe some entertainment? Okay. But the reality of it is when any player decides to go somewhere else, when they love another city, when they love another fan base than you, when they divorce themselves from you, yeah, you boo them. And I don't want to hear how that's wrong or that's rude. Where are we going with that? My God, that wouldn't even been questioned 30 years ago if a player actively chose to go to another team and play for another organization. Right now we've got people going, I can't believe Washington fans. What do you mean you can't believe Washington fans would boo Bryce Harper? What are you talking about? I would have booed Bryce Harper if I was at the game. Of course, that's part of the joy of being a sports fan, is that there is a passion, there is an energy, and there is a pride that you don't want to give away. When you're a fan of a city or a team, that's personal to you. And when somebody says no to that, when somebody that is part of your family, if you will, decides to leave to go join another family, yeah, that makes you angry. And it should make you angry. If he had gotten traded, that would be one thing. If it was a salary dump and the organization said, we're not going to be able to afford you anyway, but we're going to send you on your merry way, then give him a standing ovation when he comes back. But if he divorces himself from you, boo him and stop questioning it. Because it's sports, and it's awesome, and they should have booed, and they should boo every time they play him in D.C. at Nationals Park. All right, coming up, what the heck happened to the AAF? That's next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio
and on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks very much. It's SB Nation AM, Tony D, Ron Culver. And you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's here on a Wednesday. So the American Alliance, oh no, the Alliance of American Football. I never, after 8 weeks, I never got that right.
I never got that right.
And now I don't need to worry about it because they've suspended operations. But here's the thing, Ron, there's a twist to this story now that I saw yesterday. And we've talked about this demise, I think, twice. When the news first started coming, that Tom Condon was saying that the league was going to go out of business. Then it didn't. Then it kind of hung around. And then I think it was yesterday we talked about it again. And each time I said, all right, well, what did they expect? I mean, this is an expensive thing. And what did they think financially? What was going to happen? And, you know, Tom Condon comes in with money, probably realizes what a fool he was to invest this kind of money. It's hemorrhaging funds, every team. But now there's a twist to this, according to Albert Breer at Sports Illustrated and a number of other people. And I think Ben Kercheval hit on it as well. Tom Condon may have actually just bought this thing for the technology of a gambling app that the league was creating and had really no interest in funding anything that had anything to do with football. That he just wanted to acquire this technology. And if that's the case, because there's people in the league that said, no, we would have been fine. We would have made it. But because Condon is the money man, and he said, that's it. That's Tom Condon. Is that his name?
Dundon.
How do you pronounce it? Dundon. I'm sorry. Why did I say Condon?
Because you're going after the agent.
Okay.
Isn't there an agent named Tom Condon?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Dundon. I apologize. I wrote it down as Condon, and you know what? That's the way I got to be. I just embedded in my brain. But Dundon may have gone after a gambling app, and technology is what he was really after, and not to save a football league, and not to create a minor league. And all of this might have been just to get public, you know, perception that he was trying to create a minor league for the NFL. Got to get the Players Association involved, probably knowing that it wasn't going to happen. And if that's the case, I don't know if he's a smart businessman or if he's just a mean guy. I mean, because he killed the league in order to achieve what the league was creating in this advanced gambling app. I mean, on the one hand, great business. We see this. This happens all the time in business. You sometimes buy a company not to do anything other than to take things that company possesses, the intellectual property of that company. You don't have any interest in saving it. You don't have any interest in the jobs. They have a piece of information, a piece of equipment that you want to have, that you want access to. You buy the company, you get that piece of equipment, and then you just ban the company. And that's exactly what he might have been doing here. And that's kind of sad because there are people like Bill Polian who said, no, we were fine. We would have been fine. But they welcomed in this guy's money and therefore his power. And because of that, it's over. It's done. And now there is no more Alliance of American Football with the XFL covering. It's kind of too bad, too, because this, I'll be honest with you. I was very skeptical when this was created. I did not know what we were getting. I know we love football in America, but what kind of football were we going to watch? I mean, the XFL, for everything that it was, for all the hype and all, it was not very good football. Right? It was just not. I mean, that's just the way it was. And this football was pretty good. I mean, for what it was pretty good. If you went into it saying, hey, listen, it isn't going to be NFL level, but it's going to be pretty decent and competitive and fun. Steve Spurrier was in Orlando. Mike Singletary was a head coach, right? I mean, this was a league that, you know, could have made it if it found its niche, if it found its groove, if it found its financial path, if you will, to success. It could have made it. We liked football. It got better ratings than a Rockets Thunder game on television, has been pointed out. It did pretty well. It didn't do NFL numbers, but it never tried to do that. It wasn't the USFL in the early 80s where it was like, we're going to compete. Like, it wasn't that. It was, look, guys, we're a league. It's football. You like football. Give us a shot. Join in. Pick a team. Have some fun. It's 10 weeks. Some notable names. And let's see where this goes. And instead, it may have been pilfered for gambling technology. It may have. And I say may because it's not, you know, rumors. I don't think we'll ever. There's rumors that that's exactly what he did. We'll see. It's let me just put it to you this way. It's believable.
Yeah, it's totally believable.
It's believable.
The one thing I've never really made sense to me was how $250 million bought you the controlling stake in a sports league.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. And he's only put in $70 million
right.
of the $250. So he hasn't even put in the whole $250 yet.
Like, I would venture a guess that $250 wouldn't even cover half of one NFL team.
Right. Oh, no.
I have no idea how much it takes to run an NFL organization, but I just was always surprised. Like, man, these guys, are they making less than me?
Yeah, I mean, it's, oh man. I mean, yeah. And you're right. I mean, listen, if the thing that worried me, all right, this is why I believe the kind of rumors that he was after the gambling app technology. Did it not appear that Dundon went nuclear on this league the second he got into it?
Well, he changed the model.
Right.
He was the one who came straight out and said, yeah, you know, if we can't be an NFL developmental league, then we have no place in this world, basically.
Yeah.
And the whole mantra from the get-go was, you know, with Bill Polian and Charlie Ebersol coming out going, we're not an NFL developmental league. We're just another professional sports league.
Listen to this quote by Bill Polian, who was like the co-founder of this league with Charlie Ebersol. He said, when Mr. Dundon took over, it was the belief of my co-founder, Charlie Ebersol, and myself that we would finish the season, pay our creditors, and make the necessary adjustments to move forward in a manner that made economic sense for all. Think about that for a second. They opened up the year, probably had some money, right? Probably had a lot of money, realized, okay, maybe it costs a little more to do this. Maybe it costs a little more to do that. Maybe it costs, the travel is a little different. Maybe we can save money here. Maybe we can save money. They weren't even allowed to have that one year where you see everything. And then you go back to the drawing board and go, okay, for us to survive, we're going to do this, this, and this. They didn't even make it. I mean, this guy came in, dumped some money in there, and then started screaming how it was going to end and it was going to be over and over quickly. You could almost believe the rumor that he was just after a piece of technology. It's like he wanted to get out of it almost as quickly as he got into it. We need to be a partnership with the NFL. Why isn't it tomorrow? Well, we're done. It's out. We're out. Like, a negotiation with the NFL's Players Association and the NFL was going to take a long time. That was not going to be a decision that was going to be made by the NFL overnight or within 2 days or within 2 weeks. That is a serious negotiation. How do you protect your players? What do you pay them? Are we on the hook for this? Are you on the hook for that? How much do you want us to contribute to the overall cost of the payroll? How much are you willing to put in? I mean, think about it. If you're putting together this league that the NFL never asked for, right? And then you demand that the NFL sit at a table with you so you can be the minor league for the NFL, again, which the NFL never asked for. Do you think the NFL is just going to go, oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah, just send us the bill for whatever you want us to play the players that we'll send to your league? No, that's a long, long, long negotiation. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but it's not something the NFL owners go, that league thing, let's just pay them a bunch of money to let our players play. And immediately he started saying that needed to happen. And then immediately he's like, nah, and this is going to end. It's over. And that's really too bad because there were people who put a lot of time and effort into this thing and didn't get a chance to see it through, didn't get a chance to see how it could have played out differently. Again, maybe make some adjustments. Maybe figure out a better way to travel. I don't know. Maybe come up with a deal with airlines. I don't know. I mean, there's 100 ways you could do this. But instead, this guy is gone. All 8 teams are done. And Johnny Manziel was it. Did you see Johnny Manziel's tweets about it? Rather kind of level-headed about the whole thing. Like, yeah, this is what happens. The last check you got is probably the last check you'll get. Don't bother suing, you know, that kind of thing. You're not going to get your
just
money. Just
fact of the matter.
Just kind of like, yeah, don't freak out.
Nature of the business, guys.
Nature of the business. Good for Johnny Manziel, keeping it all real.
Who knew? Who knew he was he was so level-headed?
God. So smart businessman or kind of a jerkish thing to do? redundant to do this.
I mean, it's
if the rumors are true.
If the rumors are true, it's very jerkish. But it does feel like he, you know, he was jumping the gun a lot as well. You know, I think they, I don't know. I mean, obviously, he didn't want to lose more money. I mean, he promised 250, only losing 70. So, I mean, he comes out ahead on this one.
Yeah.
But, you know, it would have been nice to just say, hey, you know, let's just finish out, like you said, just finish out this league. Let's see where it goes from here. And then let's just see where we stand and what we need to change, you know, during the summer, you know, during the fall. And maybe, you know, maybe you could eventually develop a relationship with the NFL, much like the USFL had.
Yeah, we did this my second year that I was going into minor league basketball. We changed the schedules. Like, we were going to change the schedules and go, okay, look, we're traveling too much. That's very expensive. Like, if you've ever been on a road trip with a minor league team that flies, like, a lot of minor league baseball take buses, but like, if you fly, you take the cheapest flight you can get, and sometimes it's like three stops before you get to your location.
Right.
It's just, it's like the worst ticket you can buy. And then when you get there, like, especially you travel with basketball players, everybody wants the aisles, the exit row seats.
Of course.
Everybody complains. And they're just the biggest babies when they travel, when they don't get it. Oh, it was nuts. It was, I loved it. I mean, I was loving it because I just had a good time, and I was young and I was in for the ride. My wife used to make little goodie bags for the players and stuff, little snacks and stuff that they could take back when you could just take stuff on planes. Nobody cared, but it was still like you travel so cheaply. Yeah, but that was the biggest expense, right? The teams complained the travel expenses were too much. Okay, well, you know what we can do? We can make it so that, like, if you go from Detroit to Tampa to play, you're gonna stay there and play three games, maybe three games over 4 days, and you'll just get that out of your schedule rather than go down once and then come back midway through the year and then come back again. It may not look good on the schedule. It may feel more baseball-ish that you're playing these three game series, but the point was, let's get off these planes as much as we possibly can. This league never had a chance to do that. This league never had a chance to say, you know what, maybe we can bus to certain locations. Maybe we can keep the schedule more localized where you're not just going to play everybody. Maybe you play people in your own area twice and you only play maybe one team cross conference. I mean, whatever it is, there's many ways to do this. They weren't even allowed to do it. All right. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number as we continue along on a Wednesday on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Our professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Last night in the NBA, we're kind of winding down, getting closer to the start of the playoffs. And last night in the NBA, a potential shift in the top spot in the Western Conference as Denver went to Oakland to take on Golden State. And the Warriors prevailed in that game, and they beat the Nuggets. And they think they've beaten the Nuggets three times in four meetings this season. But they beat Denver nonetheless, 116 to 102. The Nuggets look very vulnerable right now, and I've never been comfortable with this team going into the postseason as a Western Conference championship team. And you should be able to say that about a team that's finishing second in the conference, that they are capable of going to the finals, playing for a championship. But yet there's something about this team that I like, but I don't know if it's playoff good. Here's my thing, and I've said this along with Golden State. The regular season is a bad, bad barometer about how things will go into the postseason. The postseason is a different animal. The Nuggets are struggling right now. It doesn't mean they'll struggle in the playoffs. The Rockets are red hot. Doesn't mean they'll stay red hot in the playoffs. The getting into the playoffs and then settling into a series is a different mindset than playing night after night in different cities or playing at home against different opponents. And sometimes it's back to back. Sometimes you play three games in 5 days, whatever it is. Golden State, though, I've said this all along this season. I think when Golden State really needs to win, they win games. I think when they don't, you know, when they don't need to win, when they kind of play a game on the road, or it's a back to back, or you know, whatever it is, or the back end of a road trip, you can get them. You can nab them, and you can beat them. And sometimes they've underlooked opponents who've beaten them pretty handedly. I mean, they got throttled by the Dallas Mavericks not that long ago. But when push comes to shove, and when they are faced with an adversity, like a team like Denver, for example, they beat the Nuggets. They beat the the Nuggets shot terrible last night, and now Golden State has a 2-game advantage in the division, and so going into the postseason, they'll be fine. I mean, Kevin Durant got ejected last night too, so I mean they still won the game. But they're still going to be a very difficult out despite their ups and downs during the regular season. But Denver looks really vulnerable to me. And I've always wondered, again, this is the kind of thing when you have a team that has so many different weapons, and Denver has so many different ways to beat you. Can you neutralize a couple of those in a 7-game series and then they don't know what to do? Right? Or do they say, no, if you take away Jokic, Paul Millsap will score a bunch of points. Jamal Murray will score a bunch of points. Denver all season is, outside of Jokic, they don't really have a guy. I'll give you a perfect example. Russell Westbrook last night is a perfect example of that. Russell Westbrook, in a game that they kind of needed to have, they're battling San Antonio for the bottom part of the Western Conference playoffs, the 7 and 8 seed. And Oklahoma City's been struggling a bit. And there's a vulnerable Lakers team without LeBron James that's coming to town. And Westbrook has a 20 triple-double, meaning it's 20 points, 20 rebounds, 20 assists, right? He has in the 20s in the three categories. It's a monster performance. It is a performance that has only happened twice in the history of the NBA. And now he's the second guy to do it, right? Golden State has a guy. And it doesn't matter who it is. It's either Durant or Curry, even Klay Thompson. Oh, heck, and can be Draymond Green for all I care. But they have guys on that team that will do whatever they have to do. If they have to score 40, they score 40. Same with the James Harden. Same with the Russell Westbrook, right? The Nuggets, Jokic is their star, but they have guys around him that contribute scoring. But I don't know if this well-balanced attack of, you know, your leading scorer has got 17 points or 19 points works necessarily in the playoffs. I think you need a guy that when the chips are down says, I got it. Give it to me. I'm good. We're good. I'm getting through this. I mean, the big three in San Antonio always had success, but there was always one of those guys that was willing to say, nope, I'll get 36 if I have to get 36. So it's Golden State, as vulnerable as they've been this season, as bad as they've looked at times, still, you're going to beat them four games in 7 games? I don't think so. I just don't think so. But I don't think Denver is the team to do it. If they're going to do it, I think the Rockets are capable of doing it. I think Portland is, Portland lost Nurch, so I don't think they could do it. But I think maybe a Utah team with their defense could possibly do it, but I doubt it. I think the Rockets are probably the only threat in that West, but I just don't think it's going to be Denver. And despite the fact that they're a 2 seed and they're only a handful of games behind Golden State, relatively equal throughout the season, I still don't see Denver able to beat this team 4 times in 7 games. I just don't see it. Again, if Golden State needs to beat you, they'll beat you. And I think they wanted to make a statement against Denver last night. You know, listen, we're not rolling over here. You know, we're not letting you take the Western Conference top spot. And again, we've asked this question all season when it comes to the West. You look at Golden State, you look at Houston, you could name players, you could name guys, you could name role players. Denver, hard to do. It's hard to do. Even Jokic, for that matter, has not transcended yet to be a super, superstar in this league. And he's one of the best players in the league, but he hasn't gone supernova like Adetokounmpo has in Milwaukee. Where Adetokounmpo, when he was a young man, was like, all right, the Greek freak. But then there was that moment where he kicked it in and became a supernova NBA star. Jokic has yet to do that. He hasn't crossed into that yet. But he's still an excellent player. But now, just a little disappointing, because if you're looking for some fresh blood and you're looking to see maybe a little shift in the West, it'd be kind of neat, you know, but at the same time, Denver's just not the team that's capable of doing it. I think about the Rockets, if they had not gotten to, you know, beset with some injuries, played some up and down basketball, where they would have been if some of those games or some of those moments during the season where there was some doubt and there was some problems, if that didn't come to fruition, where would Houston be? I think Houston could have made a run, you know, right now. Right now, Houston's the hottest team in the Western Conference. I mean, they've been remarkable in the way they've been playing. So, I don't know. It's too bad. Again, your second seed in the West, I just don't think they're going to challenge.
So we always said about the Nuggets is that they were the A's.
Yeah, they were the A's. Exactly. Yeah,
or they are the A's, I should say.
You know, yeah, hard to peg them.
It's hard to peg them. It's hard to tell where they're going to be. You know, the A's, we knew they were going to make the playoffs, but we had no idea what they were going to do. And same with the Nuggets.
Yep.
We know they're going to make the playoffs, but we just have no idea how far will they go. They could be one series and done for all we know.
Amazing or how the season is coming quickly to a head.
I know. Or they could run it through the table. We have no clue.
No idea. Like 4 or 5 games left in the regular season. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number as we continue along. We'll talk some NFL and the Cleveland Browns next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us. SB Nation AM, and it's on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. So, Ron, let me ask you this question. Yesterday we were talking about the Cleveland Browns and how Odell Beckham Jr. was so happy to go to Cleveland, to leave New York City, of all places, and to go to Cleveland,
where nobody wants to go to Cleveland. Drafted again.
Oh, he was so thrilled. But let me ask you a question. Let's say the Browns were stock, and the stock pays off in playoffs, playoff run, playoff win. Stock, do you buy the stock this season?
That they'll be in the playoffs?
That they'll be in the playoffs, and not only be in the playoffs, but get maybe even a playoff victory out of the deal. Or do you still harbor a little, you know, I love them, they're fun to watch, but I'm not sure yet.
See, I'm on the side right now that they do make the playoffs. Now, that could change by the time we get closer to the regular season after we've seen some training camp and you know, assuming no one gets hurt. But I'm on the side that they do make the playoffs because they were very close last year. And in their division, there's been a lot of change.
That's where I'm going, right? I'm looking at the North and I'm saying, okay, I know the Ravens kind of stepped up a little bit, but there was a time when the Ravens weren't doing anything in the offseason.
Right. And I'm still not 100% sure on Lamar Jackson.
Right, me either.
You know, he did some really great things, but there's, you know, you're always going to have that sophomore slump.
But from the standpoint of the Browns, I mean, listen, I think, there is a perception that we're looking at Cleveland about young and exciting and fun that they're embracing. And I think that's a key here. I think they really believe, and I think Odell Beckham is indicative of this with his reaction to going to Cleveland, that there is something going on there that these players want to be a part of, that they're dying to change the culture of this team. They're dying to be the young players that have come in and say, you know what? There is no reason why we can't win in this league, right? This whole idea that one playoff berth since the inception of the franchise in 1999, that's insane. That's absolutely insane. That's not only insane, that is off the board crazy. Like, that's not how this league works. That's not how you're supposed to conduct business. And they're not going to be beholden to that whole idea that there's a jersey with a bunch of quarterbacks' names on it and a fan base that, you know, again, has been, you know, pretty much dormant in the postseason since, you know, only once again in over 20 years, that they're not involved in that, that they're, that is separate from what they're trying to do. And every team does that. Like every, all these players do that when, oh no, it's going to be different. Every coach that has come through Cleveland has said the same thing. Oh, we're going to start winning. We're going to start winning now. We're going to give you a team you can be proud of. And then they go 4-12 or they go 3-13. I think this group of guys, the youthful energy of this, that it's really, really palpable. I mean, it's thick. You can pour it on pancakes. Like I used to say, you can really feel it. You can really sense it. Now, you compare and contrast that, okay? Now, again, that does that equal wins? Not really. We don't know. I mean, in the end, it's an X's and O's game. I get it. And it is played with a little emotion, but it's an X's and O's game. So, that being said, look at the division, as you said. What are the Cincinnati Bengals doing other than getting a new young head coach in Zach Taylor? What else have they done? What else have they done that made you go, wow?
Got rid of perfect. So, yardage might go down.
That's very true.
They may not be paying out fines as much.
In a game of field position, that might be a plus. Right? The Steelers, as good as James Conner's was and Juju Smith-Schuster, there is still the Antonio. You don't just go, Antonio Brown, no big deal. That is a big deal.
We got
to
three
lose
of them
Antonio
in our
Brown.
Back pocket.
Right. Antonio Brown was a star wide receiver. You don't just go, hey, grab another guy and he's a new star wide receiver, right? There is a reason why Juju Smith-Schuster was able to have a year. Antonio Brown was double teamed a lot. Okay. I mean, let's not think that his absence from the offense is going to be okay. It may not be okay. All right. And the Ravens, again, Lamar Jackson, looked like they weren't going to do anything in the offseason, did some things now, but still. Cleveland's done the most, right? Cleveland has been bold and aggressive, and these moves have that feeling of, wait a minute, there is something brewing here. And I think it counts for something. Again, still an X's and O's game, and I'm not telling you that guys win on pure emotion alone. They have to be coached. You have to call the right plays. You have to do all the right things in those circumstances. But if you're a Browns fan, all right, and how many of you out there, I don't know how many of you out there are Browns fans, but let me know how often you felt that way about your team, like Odell Beckham feels about your team. When was the last time you felt the way Baker Mayfield feels about being a Brown, about being the Browns? Because that's contagious. I've got two guys, you've got two guys on this team now, three with Jarvis Landry, that this combination, I mean, they love this. They want this. And I think it's going to be exciting
really,
to watch.
I mean, I'm trying to think in like recent memory, have we had a dual threat like this far as wide receivers go?
This is amazing.
I mean, maybe the first one that popped in my mind was maybe Denver.
Yeah, Denver. Yeah.
They had Brandon Marshall, Denarius Thomas and
Emmanuel Sanders. Yeah.
But I'm just trying to think like two wide receivers who were, you know, who were bona fide number ones on both their teams, respective teams before now being paired together. I mean, that's the thing to think about. Who's number one? Is it Beckham or is it Landry?
That's interesting.
And then on top of that, it's like, okay, if you decide to double team Landry, you can't double team Beckham as well and vice versa. So one of those guys is going to be able to get open because they're in single coverage. So, I mean, that has to have Baker feeling very relaxed, and I don't think you want a relaxed Baker.
Yeah, because it's been some good stuff. Listen, Jeremy Fowler wrote at ESPN.com about the Steelers saying that, you know, Joe Hayden, Steve Nelson, they're really excited to face Odell Beckham Jr. twice during the season. Odell Beckham Jr. is excited to play you twice during the season. I mean, this is going to be really fun. And I think Cleveland is really primed to take that division. I really do. I agree with you. I will buy this stock and take a gamble. It's something I'm not rooting for, obviously, because now they scare me. And they used to be the kick around the doormat in the division. but not anymore. This is a tough team. On the flip side of it, listen, there's always the sophomore jinx that occurs in this league with quarterbacks. And Baker may not be an exception to the rule. We're waiting. Like, even though Patrick Mahomes is going into his third year, it'll be his second year starting. And there's still a belief that maybe he comes back down to earth. For, you know, 50 touchdowns. It's probably likely he's not going to throw 50 touchdowns next season. Still have a great year, but not 50 touchdowns. Maybe Baker Mayfield regresses a bit. Who knows? But boy, the overall joy and the smiles on their faces about playing together and being together and being part of this team and being part of the city and what the city is going to do, that's dangerous. These guys are really good, and when they're confident, that division is up for grabs. Because again, don't tell me that there's a team in that division that is the Patriots of the North. There's no Patriots of the North right now. Right? There's no Kansas City Chargers. There's no two teams or one team head and shoulders above the rest. The Steelers didn't make the playoffs this year because the Steelers went 9-6-1. The Steelers went 9-6-1 and didn't make the playoffs. And maybe if they not tied, they might have squeezed in. But there is no team so much better than everybody else. And this is wide open for the Browns. I think they're the most exciting young team in the league right now. Of the young teams, of the young quarterbacks, of the young, you know, organizations, and I like Dallas. I still look at Dallas as a young team. Amari Cooper joining that group of Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott, but I like the Browns more. I like the Browns more as a team to watch. Boy, they're dangerous. And now, I mean, imagine if this was in your division, man.
No, imagine if you had to put up with a young.
No,
I mean, because the other thing too is, I mean, you know, the Browns actually. Like you said, they've gotten better, but just not just in wide receiver. I mean, you know, let's not forget too that probably what after week eight they're going to get Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I totally forgot about that.
And yeah, I mean, I'm still not 100% sold on, you know, what happened with Kareem Hunt, but you know, that's an amazing thing to have a fresh Kareem Hunt come in at week eight.
That's
a scary situation to come in. Like, oh, you know what? He's just going to finish out the last half of the season.
Yep.
And in my division, the Chiefs might end up might be parting ways with Tyreek Hill too. So it's all looking up for me.
Yeah, and get this. I mean, yeah. Think about the Chiefs. Think about the Chiefs and the massive changes that they've gone through. Remember, Kareem Hunt left that team in late November.
Yeah.
Right. They didn't release him in like third week of the season and then adjusted. They just got by. I mean, they still continued along, but they had the benefit of Kareem Hunt and his offensive ability for a good majority of the season. Right. And
yeah, then when they were racking up a lot of points,
putting up
40,
right.
50 a game. And it kind of took a step back after he left.
Yep, and it did, and yet they held on, and they still were the number one seed and whatnot, but that was a late subtraction. Now you have a team that is going through a number of other subtractions, brand new defense, Steve Spagnuolo running that. There could be a lot of changes in Kansas City that costs them a number of wins just enough that the Chargers take over, or the Broncos get more competitive. We'll see. I mean, I'm not 100% a Joe Flacco believer, but you never know. I mean, you know, so we'll see. But the Browns, I think they're the most exciting young team in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I mean, the one that we can all rally behind, too. And that's
well,
what...
Well, maybe you. If I want to win the division...
You know, deep down inside, there's going to be a part of you like, you know, if the Steelers can't do it, I want the Browns to do it.
See, you know, that's a good point. And I do have a soft spot. And I started the show by saying, I don't like soft sports fans. You know,
yep.
I don't like that. But I have this friend I went to college with. He's a diehard Browns fan, and there is a level of sympathy that I have for him. He just doesn't have anything. He just, like, there's nothing there.
Well,
he's had LeBron James, right? The Indians have gone to the playoffs a number of times, but he loves the Browns, and they don't give him anything back.
Well,
and now they are.
Since 1999, they have been the pathetic team in the NFL. Forget about, you know, Detroit being the first team going 0-16. The Browns have had this level of, you know, I guess, worse than mediocrity. That, you know, it's just unfathomable that they've, you know, they're still, I mean, if they were, if this was like the English Premier League or any other, you know, professional soccer league over in Europe, this team would have been relegated like 500 times by now.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And we wouldn't be talking about the Cleveland Browns.
And think about the ultimate, the other kick in the face for Browns. When they had a team, they had a decent team, you know, in the 80s, you know, they lost to Elway in bizarre ways, the fumble in the drive. But then that team leaves, goes to the Ravens, and then in a few years, the Ravens, Ozzie Newsome's former Brown, now Ravens, they win a Super Bowl, right? They win a Super Bowl. That city watched their guys go to Baltimore, and within a couple of years, hoist a trophy. And they were left with an expansion team and a jersey with a zillion names on it of every starting quarterback that ever played in the organization. Right. And now they've got a team that's fun and decent and very, very, very likable. 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, as we roll along on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Ah, goodness, what a month already. Final Four coming up. What do you do? Masters next week. Ready for that?
Is it really next? No, I'm not ready for it. We need to postpone it.
God, Masters is next week.
Can we postpone the Masters?
We're already starting to buzz in Nashville about the draft coming up. There's already like, all right, this is what's going to happen downtown.
I read a story that Nashville is putting their foot down not to tear down some trees.
Yeah, I heard that too.
To make way for a stadium.
Yeah.
Or not a stadium, a stage. A
stage, yeah.
So, I mean, that begs the question, are they holding this outdoors? I thought it was indoors.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't really know the logistics of where it's going to be yet.
Because, I mean, you guys have had weird weather. I don't know if I want to be outside.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. It's still cold. It's like April and it's cold. It's freezing. Like, I just had a guy came to check our heating and air yesterday, just kind of checking. He goes, I'd like to run a test because we have one of those thermostats that had to be rewired a little bit. And he goes, well, it's because it's one of those programmable things. He goes, it won't run the test because it's like 50 degrees outside. It won't run the air. I go, really? He goes, yeah. I go, I'm like, what? Isn't it supposed to be 80 now and hot and humid and there's bugs?
Well, no.
Why is it cold?
We can withhold from that just for a little bit longer. You know,
yeah,
but,
I don't want
you know,
that.
But you know, have that my nice temperature when you actually get into the sunshine, you get warm.
Yeah. Exactly.
Have it at least be in the 70s.
I still think while Nashville will put on a good show for the draft, I don't think it's going to be Philadelphia level or I think the Bears did a good job too. The Chicago did a good job. They say Dallas wasn't as awesome, but Philadelphia did the best. I don't think it's going to be Philadelphia level. I think they'll do a good job. I think it'll be fun, but it won't be as good as what Philadelphia put on, because what Philadelphia put on was, I think that set the standard for these draft shows and these showcases. 800-777-2907. It's SB Nation AM. Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation Radio.